Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for tuning in today. Looking forward to having you with us. Roger, I'm getting a bad echo. Thank you for joining us. Looking forward to having you join in this dialogue and discussion today. You can do so by dialing 401-1413, 904-401-1413. Get you straight through to the studios and right to our microphones that we can have some discussion together. Very important dialogue and discussion on the issues today. Ladies and gentlemen, when we face issues, let me remind us, we do so not in our own strength and power, not in our own ideological, philosophical bent, but based on the authority of the Word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, the Scripture says, Jesus speaking, thy word is truth. And so when we say thy word is truth, we're talking about the Word of God. It is the first, foremost, and final source book for truth. It's not just a source to find truth. It is totality of truth. Jesus had already told his disciples in John 8, 31 and 32, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So, ladies and gentlemen, I am looking forward to the dialogue and discussion today, and I pray that you will join with us on it. We're talking about a subject today that I feel is very, very, very needful at this hour. We're talking about, ladies and gentlemen, the subject, I'm simply calling it Wake Up America. Wake Up America. And I'm saying that because we're dealing with the subject continually on socialism and constitutionalism and Christianity and what it means and what it does not mean and what we need to recognize in that realm. Because, ladies and gentlemen, in just a few days, in fact, on November the 6th, it's early voting started today in Duval County. So we're talking about approximately 2 weeks. We're going to have the most important strategic election in the history of America. And in particular, ladies and gentlemen, when it comes to the governorship and the state of Florida, we're looking at perhaps the most important race in my lifetime for the control of our state. Ladies and gentlemen, let me simply say this very, very clearly. Every Christian, every conservative, every constitutionalist in the state of Florida should sit up and take notice of this governor's race. It is just a few days from now, and I pray that you already registered to vote. I pray that you will vote. But ladies and gentlemen, listen, just casting a vote is not sufficient if we're moral, ethical people. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, we have the responsibility. Listen, as Christians, we live in this society. We live in the world. We're aliens passing through, as the Scripture calls us, because heaven is our home. But ladies and gentlemen, we are in our nation. We're citizens, and therefore we have the responsibility as salt and light to participate in the process. In fact, the Scripture is very clear in 2 Timothy, the second chapter. It's talking about the need for us to pray for those that are politically in charge, pray for those that rule over us, so that we might live a quiet and peaceable life. Ladies and gentlemen, the understanding there is, if we don't pray, if we don't vote, if we're not involved, it'll be everything but a quiet and peaceable life in the society in which we're living in. The Bible says that God gave government, God ordained government, ladies and gentlemen. There are some that shrink back when a Christian or a Christian pastor or a pulpit leader will say something about government. They say, oh, wow, whoa, you ought not do that from the pulpit. Ladies and gentlemen, I do not cease to be a Christian. I do not cease to be a citizen when I stand in the pulpit and preach. No place in the Word of God, no place in the Bible is there a foreclosure of my rights as a Christian or as a citizen in the United States of America. God created the home, God created government, and God created the church, and he did so in that order. So therefore, ladies and gentlemen, let me once again remind us that when we talk about issues, It may be in the realm of the home, the church, or government, politically speaking, but it's still a biblical truth, and therefore it is a biblical worldview. And that's what I've been talking about for years and years and years now, especially on this radio broadcast in relationship to the need of Christians to have a biblical worldview. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, God created government, and the purpose for government is to protect the good and to punish the evil. And that's found in Romans, the 13th chapter, the first 7 verses in particular. Yet under socialism and communism, in the socialistic communistic form of government, ladies and gentlemen, history reveals that it is the good people, the Christians, the moral, ethical citizens, who are truly harmed the most. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, America will decide our nation's destiny on November the 6th. The destiny of America will be determined on November the 6th. Will we continue to have a constitutional republic? By the way, ladies and gentlemen, I get a little bent out of shape when I hear even our political leaders talk about this is a democracy. No, 10,000 times no, America is not a democracy. Democracy simply means mob rule. Yes, we are devolving to a mob rule societal overview and control, but we are set up as a constitutional republic. That means we have a representative form of government. We elect people to send them to Tallahassee and to Washington and other states in order to make decisions based on what we, the people, tell them that we want, and we insist on them doing it, or we replace them at the next election cycle. But, ladies and gentlemen, we're at the pivotal point in American history. In this election, we'll decide our nation's form of government. America has served God during the course of the history past. We've left God primarily out of societal goals and ideals in America in the past several years. But, ladies and gentlemen, America has survived thus far all kinds of attacks and threats and enemies of God and enemies of the country and enemies of the people from the outside. He's protected us. But today, it is the socialist communist form within that threatens the future of America. Do you hear what I'm saying? It is the thing that is happening that is going to destroy us from within. Go back and study The Rise and Fall of the Roman Empire by Gibbons, and you'll discover that the Roman Empire was not taken over from the outside. It imploded from the inside as a result of very much of what I'm talking about today. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, across our nation, across America, we have about 100 socialist, communist. By the way, when I say socialist, it's communist light. A socialist is a communist light. In fact, one writer talked about the idea was that a communist regime would use the absolute power of the socialist dictatorship over the people to destroy all values, all religion, all institutions, and all traditions, and would theoretically lead to a communist utopia. That's what socialism is about. It is the trek, it is the roadway, it is the path to what is viewed as the utopian society under total communism, which is a dictator style of governmental leadership, if you will. But, ladies and gentlemen, the latest survey tells us that the 18 to 35-year-old age group today are excited. They are thrilled. They are absolutely bubbling over with the potentiality of the socialist candidates that are running nationwide. In fact, on the early morning Fox News, they had some clips of someone, I don't know who it was, from the Fox team going out on the streets and asking some of the millennials, 18 to 35-year-old age group, why are you for socialism? Why are you for the socialist candidate? What has that candidate done that is exemplary that should cause you to vote for him? They had zip, zero, nada, a single answer in the affirmative. They were just simply giggly, bubbly, euphoric over the idea of having a socialist form of leadership in America. Why is that so, ladies and gentlemen? What causes the millennials, this age group, what causes them to want a socialist candidate, a socialist communistic form of government? It is very simply put, and I say this, it's because the liberal socialist professors in our taxpayer, tax-funded public colleges and universities for the past 50 years have been teaching our airhead millennials, and that's what they are. They come out of these colleges and universities paid for by our tax money. They come out of these universities, and they have no earthly idea anything about American history. They have never studied world history. They do not understand true socialism or communism. All they know is what their heads have been pumped full of by the socialist, communist, loose-likes, lost liberal leftists in the professors' positions in teaching them. And all these young socialist / millennialist won't. All they're looking for is free stuff. Free stuff. When the 28-year-old socialist running in upstate New York, when asked the question, where will you pay for free medicine and free education, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, she very glibly said, well, the government will pay for it. Well, the government doesn't earn any money. The government doesn't make any money. All the government can do is continue to print money and go into exponential debt that we'll never, never, ever be able to dig out of as a nation. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, today, as a result of the socialist communist movement in America, we have about 10,000 invaders at our borders, approaching our borders. Now, I know some are saying that it's about 5,000. They started out saying it's 1,600, then it jumped to 3,000. Now some are saying 5,000. The latest on Fox News this morning, some estimates between 7 and 10,000 invaders, foreign invaders, approaching our southern border. And I call them foreign invaders, ladies and gentlemen, because they're carrying flags from their nation, waving those flags, and that's generally the sign of a foreign invader. They're not those coming looking for asylum. They're not looking for anything other than to invade America. And you must ask the question, on these long hauls of thousands of miles, who pays for the water? Who pays for the trucking of food supplies? Who pays for the meeting their physical needs in this long journey? It's the George Soros funding apparatus, ladies and gentlemen. They're funded by George Soros. But ladies and gentlemen, may I remind us, George Soros is not welcome in some countries today. In fact, as of the latest news, George Soros is being kicked out of Hungary as a result of what he's tried to do in Hungary. It is amazing to me that there are those that think that somehow, some way, that George Soros is a wonderful person, that somehow, some way, it's okay for him to do what he's doing. But ladies and gentlemen, he's out to tear down and destroy the United States of America. He is gleeful over the fact that somehow, some way, he can uproot all of the American culture and what is taking place in our nation today. He is the one that wants to destroy the borders because he is for open government. He is for a one world order. He is for a no border society. And as a result of that, ladies and gentlemen, he is funding this invasion caravan that's coming up from the south to invade the United States of America. And the socialist communist in Washington, the Nancy Pelosi and the Chuck Schumer group, they're applauding this because they're looking at it as additional voters for the 2020 and the 2024 elections. That's all it's about. In fact, when you link that with the fact that about 2 months ago, surreptitiously in some fashion that is inexplicable by the bureaucrats in Washington, 39 million, not 1,000, 39 million Social Security cards and numbers disappeared. 39 million. And ladies and gentlemen, we're in a dire strait if those get into the hands of the illegals that's coming in so that they can then vote. It's bad enough the time they cross the border and we accept them that they get free education and free medicine and free housing and clothing and food and shelter, et cetera, et cetera. And yet the working person in America that's working to pay his mortgage, working to pay for his car, working to pay for his food, working to take care of his family, if he misses payment or if he misses paying his income tax, his little home can be foreclosed on and taken by the federal government. And yet those dollars are used to fund these foreign invaders coming into our nation. Does it sound like I'm passionate about that? You bet your boots I am. Does it sound like I'm concerned about it? Yes, indeed I am. Because, ladies and gentlemen, it's the antithetical to anything that's called our form of government today, a constitutional republic. Ladies and gentlemen, socialism is communism-like. Socialism is anti-God. It's anti-Christian. It's anti-church. It's anti-constitution. And all production is in the hands of the government. There would be no guns in America if a socialist government can take complete control. And ladies and gentlemen, that's where we're headed. If we allow the state of Florida and other states that have the socialist, like the state of Georgia, they've got a socialist communist running for president there. And ladies and gentlemen, if we allow this to take place in state after state after state, and we've already allowed it to take place in several House seats and several Senate seats, in fact, there's a new number that's out, and perhaps you've heard me on the broadcast say before, some 57% of the left-wing liberals called the Democrats now identify as socialist. But ladies and gentlemen, that's going to be destructive for the United States of America. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, these invaders are coming in with the foreign flags, and they're coming in to invade by force our southern borders. They've already invaded by force the borders coming in into Mexico. They've destroyed anything that would be called border security there. I am prayerful that President Donald J. Trump, with his influence and relationship with the new president of Mexico, will be able to foreclose the potentiality of this horde of people coming in to our nation to destroy our borders and to destroy our system of governance, as is the full intent as being paid for by the Bernie Sanders Political Action Committee and by George Soros and his about 200 organizations operative in the United States of America for the sole purpose of destroying our nation. Ladies and gentlemen, it is very serious. I don't know of anything that's facing America and the state of Florida in the next 2 weeks any more important than this election. So if I'm talking to you, if you're listening, and you have decided that you're just simply going to drop out and sleep over and not have a concern about this election, shame on you. Especially if you're a Christian, especially if you're a moral, ethical person, especially if you believe in our Constitution, especially if you believe in religious liberties and religious freedoms and the constitutionality of our right to keep and bear arms. If you believe in those elements alone, ladies and gentlemen, it behooves you to vote and to vote Republican. That is the only conservative that I see that's running, is the Republican candidate, both on a local and national level. Ladies and gentlemen, so why is this important? Why is it important for us to talk about these issues? Simply put, we're witnessing what I call the satanic demonic strategy of overthrowing America. The satanic demonic strategy for overthrowing America. Ladies and gentlemen, you're tuned in to Let's Face the Issues. This is Dr. Youngblood. We invite you to join in this dialogue and discussion. If you have thoughts or ideas on this subject, if you counter what I'm saying, please call in. Love to hear from you and love to hear your rationale as to why you would disagree with what I'm saying. If you're concerned about this issue and you're concerned about telling your friends, relatives, neighbors, and acquaintances, get out and vote. Do not, I don't care what the weather's like. If it's rain, sleet, or snow, it doesn't make any difference. Of course, I don't picture that. But if it is, ladies and gentlemen, the weather conditions ought not to in any way truncate our responsibility of voting on November the 2nd. Under socialism and communism, ladies and gentlemen, religious freedom ceases. Real education ceases. The middle class is gone. There's no self-defense. So I don't know how to impress your understanding any greater than saying this is important. We're witnessing this satanic, demonic strategy to overthrow America and to destroy our freedoms, destroy our constitutional liberties, and destroy the religious liberties of Christians. Ladies and gentlemen, if you believe in having the freedom of religion and having a church of whatever denomination, if you believe it is our right and responsibility under the Constitution and as ordained by Holy God that we should be able to worship, that we should be able to pray publicly, that we should be able to have churches without fear or intimidation, if that's your belief, ladies and gentlemen, this is at the pivotal point, I believe, in society today that we must act. We must stand. We must do so tenaciously. We must stand without any fear of contradiction or of any fear of anyone coming against us. Florida, ladies and gentlemen, is in the bullseye. It's in the bullseye of this torrential storm that's about to hit the United States of America if we're not careful. It's in the very bullseye. It is called a decision-making state. It is a state that if we lose Florida to the socialist communist, we can watch the balance of America go the same direction. Ladies and gentlemen, the state of Florida has some right at 17 million citizens. I don't know how many is registered to vote, but I do know that across America in 2012, Barack Hussein Obama went in office the second time as a result of the silence on the part of its citizens. 51% of Christians failed to vote November of 2012. 51% failed to vote, 51% of believers, 51% of Christians that did not find it incumbent upon them to vote. And as a result of that, we had four more years of the horrifying dictatorship of the socialist Islamic presidency of Barack Hussein Obama. Florida's in the bullseye. And so therefore, these invaders that are coming in, ladies and gentlemen, to our southern border, and those that wanting to invade our system of governance and want to simply make it a democracy, that is mob rule. Let me say once again, America's Constitution is not set up on democracy. It is a realm of government that is a constitutional republic. And in a constitutional republic, we are a representative form of government. And this is the reason, ladies and gentlemen, I've touched on this before, and I'll do so again before our election day. The amendments, 13 amendments, if you've not heard me talk about it before, just simply suffice it to say all 13 of them say no, 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 13 times say no. There's an attempt to overthrow our form of governance. There's an attempt to overthrow our governance based on a constitutional republic where we are guided by our representative governments, and they're wanting to put it in the Constitution to circumvent the House and the Senate in the state of Florida and putting that on there. In the past, since 1970, we've had 120 amendments to the Constitution in the state of Florida, while with the U.S. Constitution, we've had only 27 since 1791. That should tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. But ladies and gentlemen, for the governor's race in the state of Florida, we have two choices. Two choices. Let me review those for you in case you've not been studying up, in case you've not been reviewing the candidates, in case you've not been examining the background and what these men stand for. Ladies and gentlemen, first and foremost, we have Ron DeSantis. Ron DeSantis is a U.S. congressman, former U.S. congressman. Ron DeSantis is one that is a Christian conservative. Ron DeSantis is a constitutionalist. He is a conservative. Ron DeSantis stands for our Bill of Rights. He stands for the border wall. He stands for the our President Trump and his rights and religious freedoms that he has stood for. Ron DeSantis stands against abortion. Ron DeSantis stands against the funding of Planned Parenthood with taxpayer dollars. Ron DeSantis stands for religious liberties, religious freedoms, and our entire Bill of Rights, ladies and gentlemen. Yet the communist socialist candidate, Andrew Gillum, is on the opposite side of the fence on everything that I just spoke of. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't have to put it any clearer, but when we talk about Andrew Gillum, I don't know what you have done as your studies and your research on the man. But ladies and gentlemen, let me just say this. Andrew Gillum is the 39-year-old socialist failed mayor in Tallahassee. You heard me. He's a 39-year-old. He's a proud socialist. He's not making any bones about it. He's not saying I'm a Democrat or I'm a conservative or I'm a moderate. He says I'm a socialist. He's proud of his socialistic leanings. He is the mayor of Tallahassee. And may I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, he's under an ongoing FBI investigation for corruption in his office as mayor. And here's an article that's fresh off the press this morning. Andrew Gillum's family is under investigation and may have engaged in voter fraud. Here's the article headlines. Less than a year before gubernatorial candidate Andrew Gillum publicly denounced President Donald J. Trump's efforts to investigate the threat of voter fraud, Gillum's brother, Marcus Gillum, voted in the 2016 general election in Tallahassee, Florida, while a resident of Chicago, Illinois. Here's two brief paragraphs that I'll read for you. Andrew Gillum and his brother Marcus are close. Media reports indicates that they have traveled together and attended sporting events together. Also, Marcus Gillum has been caught up in the FBI investigation involving possible corruption in Tallahassee, Florida. Leon County voting records show Marcus Gillum voted by absentee ballot in 2012's general election, absentee in the 2014 primary election, and early voting in the 2016 general election. But the trouble is, months before he cast his 2016 ballot in Florida, Marcus Gillum, in an affidavit for an unrelated case, court case, swore under oath that he was a resident of Chicago, Illinois. Furthermore, Florida Department of Motor Vehicles records show that Marcus Gillum has not had a valid driver's license since 2011 for the state of Florida. But ladies and gentlemen, he's voted three times in the state of Florida with the knowledge and consent and assistance by his brother, Andrew Gillum. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about Andrew Gillum that's running as governor or as a gubernatorial candidate in the state of Florida. Andrew Gillum is one that during his mayoralship in Tallahassee, we've seen the rate of murder increased, the major rate of murder. May I remind us, as mayor, the rate of murder under Andrew Gillum's leadership increased by 52% between 2010 and 2017. 52, yet you watch the lie on some of his promos on television. He says that crime rates decreased by 24%. Ladies and gentlemen, that's a fabricated figure pulled out of the thin air, made out of whole cloth, and has nothing to do with the reality of the statistical data of what took place in Tallahassee. 52% murder rate increase in Tallahassee. Andrew Gillum refused to have more police protection of the citizens of Tallahassee. He refused to, but yet, ladies and gentlemen, some of that same money, he approved $2 million of taxpayer money to provide funding for his friend's restaurant there in Tallahassee. Yes, you heard me right. He refused to spend the money that's needed and necessary for the benefit of increased police protection in the state or in the county, but at the same time spent $2 million of taxpayers' money as a subsidy for a restaurant that his brother was opening there in Tallahassee. Ladies and gentlemen, Gillum is bought and paid for by corrupt lobbyists and cronyism in Tallahassee under his mayoral responsibility. Gillum wants to increase Florida taxes by $1 billion. You heard me. Not $1 million. He wants to increase the taxes on the Floridians by $1 billion. He wants to increase business tax by 40%. He wants to institute a Florida state income tax. Ladies and gentlemen, we have floods of people coming from the Northeast to avoid the heavy taxation and especially the income tax, state income taxes in the Northeast. They come to Florida to settle because of that. And here we are with a socialist that's wanting to institute a Florida income tax of about 40% increase. But ladies and gentlemen, listen, after the hurricane, Andrew Gillum, as mayor of Tallahassee, refused to allow outside electrical workers to come in and help restore the electrical power. And therefore, multitudes were left hanging longer than need be with no power because of that. Gillum wants to abolish ICE. ICE, ladies and gentlemen, protects our nation's borders. And Gillum says that he will abolish ICE as much as he will have the authority to do so. Gillum is supported by George Soros, billionaire, and his billions of dollars with a goal of overthrowing American sovereignty. Ladies and gentlemen, Andrew Gillum opposes school choice and the charter school movement in the state of Florida. Andrew Gillum wants socialized medicine for all, including all illegals coming into the state. Andrew Gillum wants to provide free education for all in the state of Florida, including the illegals, at taxpayers' funding. Ladies and gentlemen, listen, there's no such thing as free stuff. There's no such thing as free education. No such thing as free medical care. Someone pays for it, and the someone that pays for it is the working class out of taxpayer money that goes into the coffers. Ladies and gentlemen, Gillum is for special protection for the LGBTQ movement in the state of Florida. Yes, you heard me, and you heard me right. Andrew Gillum says that he believes there should be special exemptions and special protection for the sodomite queer movement in the state of Florida today. Gillum wants to fund Planned Parenthood with taxpayer money. Andrew Gillum opposes our right to keep and bear arms, the Second Amendment. Andrew Gillum says as governor, he will cancel the Stand Your Ground law and the Castle Doctrine in the state of Florida. Ladies and gentlemen, that would destroy the freedom that we have to protect our homes and our families. Andrew Gillum said that he would cancel Florida Stand Your Ground law once becoming mayor. Gillum is for legalized recreational use of marijuana. You heard me right. It's bad enough that we already have a law in the state of Florida now brought on by 71% of the taxpayers voting in the referendum of 2016 that's now turning into recreational marijuana. But Andrew Gillum says that he believes recreational marijuana should be legalized in the state of Florida. Ladies and gentlemen, there is a major, major problem with Andrew Gillum. Gillum is now accused by a male member of his staff of a sexual relationship. You heard me right. Here's an article dated September the 28th, 2018. Gillum had a relationship with a male lobbyist. Article says, Our sources in Florida's capital city of Tallahassee, where Gillum has served as commissioner and now mayor, says he was intimately involved with Adam Corey. It is 2018. Nobody should be afraid to embrace their sexuality, he said. But here I am, openly gay. We are all must come to terms with our sexual preferences in different ways and different times in our lives. This article goes on to say our source in Tallahassee sources have confirmed that it is well known among capital power brokers that Andrew Gillum and Adam Corey are engaged in a long-term intimate relationship, and it goes on to talk about that relationship. Ladies and gentlemen, it frightens the socks off me. I'm thinking about the potentiality of having Andrew Gillum as our mayor. If we have this as our governor, if this is the case, ladies and gentlemen, our liberties are destroyed. Our freedom of religion will be subordinated to the sodomite special rights. Our Second Amendment will be destroyed. Our state will be controlled by the Chuck Schumer and the Nancy Pelosi socialists. The Bernie Sanders PAC and George Soros will control, and Andrew Gillum will simply be the puppet, and they're the puppeteers. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you on the air once again tomorrow as we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on AM 1600 and 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.